Finn is going overseas with us, so I'm going to make him do his devotion here today. Amen. Finn, come on up.
Jono actually gave me notice this time. Last time I was up here was 22nd of December last year, and I had 5 minutes to prepare something. Surprisingly. So my devotional was about the busyness of life and making time for God. And it's something I've always struggled with because I like to keep busy. I don't want to sit around, do nothing. I feel lazy. So late-ish last year, I started getting more involved within church at, because I've always was like a little lukewarm Christian sitting down in the back corner there. And then as I got to know people, started getting involved more, I want to participate in everything with the intention of getting closer to God. But when I started doing that and started filling out my weekly calendar, I realized I had no time left whatsoever and got neglectful of prayer and reading the Word of God. And something I wanted to share, because you can get burnt out and neglectful, and this is the main thing, is to read and to pray, is communion with God. And so we see in Luke chapter 5, 15 to 16, yet the news of him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So this was during when he prayed the man with leprosy, healed the man of leprosy. So he healed him, said, don't tell anyone, of course. Everyone told everyone. And he gets surrounded. And we can kind of relate to that with our lives. Work's busy. We work a third of our lives. We sleep a third of our lives. We've only got one third of our day left to ourselves and God. So something to make time for, really reserve precious quiet time with the Lord. And so we see when he withdrew to a lonely places and prayed, super important. And then we also see in Matthew chapter 6 verse 6 during the Sermon on the Mount, when the disciples asked him to pray. That's another thing, sorry I missed. The disciples only asked Jesus to teach them one thing. It wasn't to perform miracles, raise the dead, or walk on water. It was to pray, because they saw that his power, his authority, his revelation was all directly connected with his prayer life. And we find that in Luke 11. So just another perspective. Sorry. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Where is it? But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's just a emphasis on the quiet time, being by yourself, just one-on-one communion with you and Jesus. And so the reason I said this devotional on Thursday was because of John 15:5, about him being the vine. So, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So most of you that know me, I haven't been a Christian for very long. Since, maybe 2 years now. And so most of my life, completely separated from the vine. And from my experience, some of you may relate, it's meaningless. It's a waste of time. I lived for drinking, partying with the boys, and just living for the world. And it's empty. There's nothing. It sucks you dry, and there's no point of it. And so when we come to God and pray to him, read his word. We abide with him, and we can bear fruit from that. And the fruit helps the lost ones, the lukewarm ones. It's something I experienced. Sort of part of my testimony is just met a random bloke at work one day. He was a Christian. I had a lot of stupid questions. He had a lot of good answers. And one thing led to another. Now I'm here. So I'll leave you with this. Jesus called us to be fishermen of men, and bearing the fruits of the Spirit is the easiest way to spread the gospel, as you are a living testament of his sacrifice. Amen.
Awesome. That's great. There's something about what Finn didn't share as part of his testimony is our Christmas Eve service 2 years ago. Be 2 years ago, he came in. He sat right at the top, at the back, on a dusty pew. He keeps reminding me of that. He's just like, he keeps putting that on a dusty pew. And he met God that night. I remember, because we always shut down for 3 weeks, and when I met him down the stairs, he said, "Oh, when's the next service?" I said, "Well, actually, this is our last one. It's going to be..." The look in his eyes when he knew that he couldn't come back for 3 weeks was enough for me to go, "Look, I'll just come down and I'll play my guitar and I'll do a service for you." Just... But can I say this? He was only sitting up there because someone invited. He was only there because someone invited him to be there. You see, it's that simple. It's that simple. Extending the invite. "Hey, what are you doing today? I go to church. Would you like to come with me?" Do you know the percentage of yeses is far greater than the percentage of noes? The problem is we like to answer for people because we just assume, "Nah, they'll say no, they won't." So we answer for them, so we don't ask. What if we stopped answering for them and we just kept asking? Because it's true. 100% true. I was at Andrew Parenton's church, and he was sharing about how, you know, they're in a season of homecoming, and they've been that way for the last 18 months. And he said that, you know, when he comes across the amount of people that are coming back into the church who have been out of the church is astounding, he said. And so he preached a sermon, and he basically, he shared it here, but he basically says when he meets someone that he knew used to go to church, used to fellowship, no matter how long ago, whatever happened, he would ask this question: "Have you ever thought about coming back to church?" And he said the percentage of people that actually replied with, "Actually, it's funny you say that, because I actually have." And then his follow-up question is simply this: "Well, would you come this Sunday?" Now, I'm a bit of a guy, like when I see, you know, when I walk through the supermarkets and I see things tagged limited edition, new, I just got to try it because I got to just give it a go, see what it's like. And so I thought, I'm going to test that theory out. So I was at New World, saw someone that I knew hadn't been in church for a long, long time. Started talking, eventually got to that space, because I guided it to that space. And I said, "Hey, have you ever thought about coming back to church?" Do you know what he said to me? "It's funny you should mention that." And I said, "That's good. That's, half of it works." I walked away and left it. No, I didn't. I said, "Well, hey, do you want to come this Sunday? He went, I'll have a think about it. Do you know who was here on that Sunday? The guy I spoke to. Try it. In fact, I would say this, that if you're walking anywhere, supermarket, fuel station, anywhere, and you see someone who used to be in church but is not anymore, the reason they are there is for you to do that very thing. It's astounding. Hey, coming up, we've got Alpha starting up this Thursday. It's not too late. Pete and Liz are doing it. I think there's six down to do it. But Alpha is a great opportunity for, if you've got someone in your life that is asking questions, it's a great opportunity for them to go, especially the first night. The first night is simply just an introduction night. And it's just all about the journey to faith, asking those big questions. There is no question that is off the table. But a great opportunity if you have people in your life to just lead them on that journey of the big questions. And everyone gets to that point at some point where they start asking the big questions. So that's coming up starting this Thursday. If you need more information, just come and see me or just email or phone me and I'll pass the details on to Pete and Liz and get them to touch base with you. We've got this pink ribbon brick morning tea, isn't it? Is that right? Yeah, it says breakfast, but it's not. It's a morning tea. That's correct, Sarah? Sarah, you're leading this with, yep. And so it's on May the 31st, and so it's at the Arataura venue, 10 a.m. to 12. Mel is sitting. She's in Kids Church. Sarah's here. See them. There's email addresses, phone numbers to ring, but a great thing to support. And so that's coming up as well. And again, I will push the app. If you want to get connected, if you want to know what's happening in the life of the church, we have a number of ways you can do that. And so that is all the ways that you can be connected to us and find out what's happening, etc., etc., etc. Amen. You all got an email from me during the week. Yes, thank you to those who have replied. If you haven't got an email, check your spam box. It's just a follow-up email and what I said last week in regards to us not having the access to St. Paul's. And so there is a survey there. So what we are doing is we are going to be going back to our Arataura building and also continuing, obviously, with Waikiwi. And so there are our options. And the survey is just really to find out where everyone's at, where you're going to go. You don't need to make a decision. It's not like, oh, I don't know where to go. It doesn't matter. Just go to both for a while and see what one. They're both the same. Go where you've got relationship. And it's no stress. But that's the plan and where we're going with that. Amen. Oh, I think that's all the notices. I think. Have you got your Bibles with you? Yes? Someone, I've forgotten one. Hey? But they look like they want to stay and listen to me. Yeah, 7, 8, 9s. If you want to stay and listen to me, put your hand up. If you want to go... I didn't say 79s. I said 7, 2, 9s. If you want to go out with Ree, put your hand up. Okay, I've lost you. Rightio, Ree, you can take them. There we go. Simon, you stay here, please. I was listening to a podcast this week, and it asked this question. Has there ever been a time where you have been closer to God than you are now? Now, don't answer that, but just ponder that for just a wee bit. Has there ever been a time where you would have been closer to God than you are now? He shared this story about a husband and wife, and they'd been together for 40 years, and they had a car, and back then the cars had the bench seat. And when they were going out and in the early years, they would the husband would drive and the wife would sit in the middle and, you know, arm round and just cruise the streets like we always used to do back in the day. And they did that for a long, long, long... Yes, I can remember that. And hey, what was that? Is that why I bought the Commodore? Yeah, I'm trying to find a bench seat for it. So that happened for a long, 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 long time. And then the wife, you know, eventually started, they'd just jump in the car, she'd jump on the passenger side, one of them down, just steer out. And after a while, the wife said to the husband, you know, remember we used to jump in the car and I'd sit in the middle and we'd cruise the streets and we'd cuddle and that sort of stuff and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the husband just looked at her and said, well, I haven't moved. I haven't moved. Has there ever been a time where you've been closer to God than you are now? Isaiah 64 verse 1 says this, oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil. Your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. In verse 3, it says, when you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Isaiah, you get to see a glimpse of his heart in this passage. Isaiah had seen it all. And it was a space in his life where there was just a deep cry to God. Oh, that you would burst down. Oh, that you would come down, O God. That it would cause such a disruption that it would be visible to all. And it was a desperation prayer. It was a desperation song. It was out of the depths of the very being of who he is, of just wanting to be in the presence of God. Because he had heard the stories. How many of us have heard the stories? How many of us have heard the stories of the 1800s? How many of us heard the stories of the early 19th century and that where God just did a sovereign move? The New Life movement was birthed out of a sovereign move of God. It was birthed out of revival in this nation. And I was brought up in the church and I was brought up Methodist, and so there was that Methodist sort of history that of how the church was birthed, and once again it was birthed out of a great revival. I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and I went along there, and you'd hear the stories of John G. Lake, of Smith Wigglesworth, of Catherine Coleman. You'd hear all these stories, and you're kind of just too late for the Billy Graham. And so all my life has been brought up on the stories of old, of the stories of what God has done, of the stories of what has happened. And so there's even a cry in my heart that God, that you would do the things that you have done in the past and do it again in my time. That you would do it again in my time. And this is where Isaiah is at. He's saying, when you came down long ago, when you visited your people long ago, my heart yearns for that. In Exodus 19, we read the story where the Lord reveals himself on Mount Sinai. And in verse 3 it says that then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to your people of Israel. So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. So Moses brought the people's answer back to God. Now, I'm pretty sure Moses would have loved to have lived in our time with this whole thing. He could have just gone up the mountain, got the word of the Lord from God himself, and then sent an email around everyone, a text message, put it on social media, say, look, this is what God is saying. If you can just RSVP, a thumbs up, that would be good. Everyone gets a text message, everyone goes, reads it, goes, yep, let's do that, boop, send. He wouldn't need to come all the way back down the mountain. Relay what God had said, and then go, cool, back up the mountain. And so Moses returned. He returned to the top of the mountain and he said to the Lord, they agree. They're on board. They're in. And then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak to you. Then they will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said, and the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Mark off a boundary all around the mountain. Warn the people. Be careful, do not go up the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. No hand may touch the person or animal that crosses the boundary. Instead, stone them or shoot them with arrows. They must be put to death. However, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, then the people may go up to the mountain. I mean, that's pretty cool. Here's God, Moses comes down, explains, people say, yep, we're on board. He goes up again, says, yep, they're on board. Then he comes back down again. I mean, you know, just that journey in itself, you know, I'm not an outdoorsy person, but I was in Tauranga 2 weeks ago and I went up the mount. I probably got a third. I was like, that's enough for me. My thinking was that, well, it's the same view, just higher up. So I figured I'd seen it. So, but I mean, you know, I'm going to have to be honest with you, mate. Those next 2 days were painful. Mate, I was walking like I'd been riding a horse for 3 weeks. So I know how Moses was. And God says, well, that's awesome. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down and visit the people. I'm going to come and visit the people, but I just want you to know that you've got to cut off this area here. If anybody even dares moves past that zone, if anybody does this, they're going to be killed. In fact, I want you to stone them and shoot them. Imagine that. Imagine me saying to you, hey, look, I want to hang out with you, so come to my place. But the moment you come down that driveway, I want you to know this, that you're going to be stoned and shot. You can only come to the edge of the driveway. If you come any further, look out. What kind of relationship is that? I mean, it was like that a few years ago, kind of. I remember, you know, oh man, let's not go there. Where there's God who wants to appear to his people, who wants to come down. But it's the coming down saying, but listen up, don't go past the boundary. Don't even think about it. And you know what? I want you to clean yourselves up as well. I want you to have a bath. I want you to wash your clothes. I'm going to come. But you come any further than that, I'm going to stone. I want you stoned and shot with arrows. I mean, that's the exact opposite of what we have now. It's the exact opposite. We have a God who wants to be close to us. We have a God who wants relationship with us. The old covenant, I shared last week, the difference between the old and the new covenant. The old covenant was law-based. We have a God that you could come so far, but that's as far as you can go. Versus the new covenant of, hey, here I am, come to me. Come as close as you can. In fact, I want you to reach through the crowd, and I want you to touch the hem. I want you to come and I want you to wash my feet. I want you to come and I want you to pour oil. I want to be as close as I can to you. That's the God that we have. Exodus 19 shows us that he came down on the third day. New Testament shows that on the third day he broke the power of death, he broke the power of sin, so that we can come right into that holy place, that we can come right into that inner sanctuary and be with him, have commune with him, relationship with him. And Isaiah, he looks back and he says, you know, you came before. I've heard the stories of you come. This was about 600-700 years after that event, Isaiah's cry. It wasn't just, you know, a couple of years difference. It wasn't just 10 years. It was generations had passed and Isaiah had heard all these stories of when God came down. And he said, God, when you came down, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, within you. God is no longer a God that you can come to a certain point and you can't go any further. Through the cross, we have this relationship with God where we can just walk straight on in, into his presence. Having the relationship, having that intimate relationship with God. Has there ever been a time where you have been closer to God than you are now? If so, what's moved? What's moved? I want to encourage us today. Encourage us that the relationship we have is a relationship with him. encourage us today that we can come into a place like this, and we can sing, and we can sense God's presence, and we can be in that, but we can also go home after this, and we can continue to be aware of His presence. I love just in random places, just stopping. Just in the busyness of life, and I guarantee you, if I said, look, hands up if you're busy, our hands will go up. I know we're busy. But in our busyness, and this is what I've been doing, is in my business, I just want to stop. No matter what it is I'm doing, God, I want to be aware of your presence. I want to be aware of your presence. I want to be aware. And just standing for a moment and going, yeah, I've got God with me. I've got God with me. And I want to encourage you that in your busyness, in your life that you lead, and in everything you do, find those moments in the midst of the business. Don't wait and go, well, I'll do that later when I've got some time. Stop in that moment, and just like in that moment where you're just about to do something for work and everyone's there, you've got a minute by yourself. You go, God, I want to be aware of your presence right now. I want to know that you're here with me, and just stand. And every time I've done that, every time I've prayed that prayer, no matter what's been going on, it's just like I'm standing in this still secret place that no one can see me, and I'm just aware of the presence of God. Aware of the presence of God. That He is in my life, that He is with me, that He cares for me, that He loves me, and that I love Him, and that He is my God, and I'm His child. That relationship that I have because of the cross and because of what He did on that cross through His Son, Jesus. Oh that you would burst from the heavens and come down. I wonder if we could make that our prayer this week. God, oh that you would burst into my life. Oh that you would open up my life. And I would know your presence surrounding me. Father, I pray let's just stand to our feet. Let's just, no music, no nothing. Jesus. I think sometimes we get into this trap where perhaps we go, well, we've got to have the worship music on, we've got to have this, we've got to have that, we've got to have, you know, the right scenario happening. But I've done this in the busiest of malls in Manila. I've just stood there and go, God, this is so crazy. There is so much activity. I just want to sense your presence. I want to be aware that you're with me. I want to be aware of your presence right now. And I kid you not, I've felt like I've been locked in a room, no one else around. And I've stood there and I've sensed His presence. So even now, Father, I pray that as we stand here, Lord God, Father, as we have known the things that you have done, that we have known the things of past, that you would come down, that you are here right now, Lord God. Father, I pray for every single person standing right now, that they would be aware of your presence right now, Lord God. Father, for those ones that are in the storms of life, Lord God. Father, just for a moment, let them be aware of your presence, Lord God. For those ones who are in the hustle and bustle of life and things are just busy, I pray that there would be an awareness of your presence right now, Lord God. For some of you might be just pondering, well, what am I meant to feel? What am I meant to sense? For me, every single time, I just have this overwhelming peace just coming. And I could just stand there in this peace. It's not like it's a warm, fuzzy. For some it is, but for me it's just, I just have this knowing and this peace that just comes. It's just, you can't explain it. Jesus. Oh, look out. Father, let's pray for Abram, Lord God. Jesus. Father, I pray that in his action, Lord God, Father, he would sense peace, Lord God. Father, in the chaos, that he would sense peace, Lord God. Father, that he would know. He would know what it is to stand in the presence of God. I get this picture, and it's like you've just done this massive downhill track, and you're standing at there. It's just been the adrenaline, and you're at the end of it, and you're off your bike, and you're just. There's just, you're standing there going, it's just like an awe. You're standing in this awe. And I get a sense that God wants you to know what it is to stand in his awe, knowing that God, the very God that spoke, the very God that said, let there be, is the very God that is standing with you. That's the very God that's a stand, that is with you. It's the God with you. Mm. Father, I pray for that awareness, Lord God. Mm. Jesus. Jesus.